Well, Churchill said that democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the others. Ha! Warts and all, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is the best thing going for bold Book of Concord Lutheranism.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The scriptures are actually true. We confess the ancient Catholic faith. We're the truest of evangelicals. The gospel alone saves. We are not a sect. God's saving acts are still going on in preaching of the word, absolution, baptism, body and blood of Christ, all for forgiveness. From all this comes peace of conscience, joy, and eternal hope. The LCMS is a global force, and I'm going to make the case for it.
You can meet and hear Pastor Matt Harrison making the case for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at this year's Making the Case Conference, June 12th and 13th, at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Luke chapter 18. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God.
You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his man's servant,
The Small Catechism on page 324. What is the third petition? What does this mean? How is God's will done?
God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which is not on us to hallow God's name, or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word with faith until we die, this is his good and gracious will.
What is the fourth petition? What does this mean?
God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God will lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving.
What is meant by daily bread? What is the fifth petition?
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
What does this mean?
We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven will not look at our sins or deny our prayer and trust them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Two men went up to the temple to pray. I suspect the outcome was surprising to a great many of those who heard the bare parable without Luke's theological commentary in verse 9. The devil, the world, and the sinful nature of the religious Pharisee had their way with him. He was arrogant, self-righteous before God, and contemptuous toward his fellow man. Surely God will hold me in esteem, unlike this miserable tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get. He thought he was doing God's will. His trespasses, minor if he had any at all, were surely forgiven on account of his righteous life. He stood upright, kept himself apart, pure from sinners like that tax collector, rehearsed his righteousness before God, in case God wasn't fully aware. This tax collector obviously stood outside of God's good and gracious will. It is surprisingly then that the relatively non-religious man, the shameful, contemptible tax collector, in whom the will of God is most clearly seen. In the tax collector, God broke and hindered every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and his own sinful nature. He recognized his sins and his sinfulness, owned it, knew it made him undeserving of God's favor. His penitent prayer was well pleasing to our Father, for in it he hallowed God's name and desired God's kingdom. But it wasn't the prayer per se that swayed God's will. Luther rightly says, "The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also." The tax collector knew a reality greater than his sin, God's will for the salvation of all people, even a lowly, sinful tax collector like himself. God had said it in the Old Testament, "As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way and live." Jesus also says it, "This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And later, by inspiration, St. Paul would say, a bit more succinctly, "God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Above all, this is God's good and gracious will, your salvation." The tax collector knew it, believed it, banked on it, if you'll pardon the pun. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." No works mentioned, no contempt for his fellow man, simply the repentant plea of a sinner who knows he has nothing to offer God in exchange for his good and gracious will. Just this: "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." Not only was God merciful, not only did God forgive him his trespasses, but also he declared him righteous in his sight, holy by the holy blood of Christ. For as the psalmist declares, "The Lord does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion toward his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." God forgives you. God declares you righteous. God makes you holy in his sight and exalts you. And now we have an argument for the greater to the lesser, if we take the fourth petition as Luther does. If on the one hand God wills the breaking and hindrance of all evil and exalts us by declaring us righteous in his sight, and if he wills our salvation and forgives us all our trespasses, will he not also grant us daily bread, that is, everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body? Surely he will. And does, graciously, abundantly, all for the sake of Christ's death and resurrection. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
By the farmer, via the transporter, through the grocer, God provides us with the food and drink we need to support this body and life. By our parents, our spouses, and our employers, God ensures that we have the goods and income to provide us with clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, and every other good and perfect gift, all for the sake of Christ. But daily bread includes much more. For our Lord Jesus Christ says in John 6, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. We also need this bread on a daily basis, this manna from heaven, who gave himself on the cross. So God gives us his word and his sacraments. That way, we who hunger and thirst for a righteousness outside of us, as did the tax collector, may daily eat and drink of Christ and receive everything we need, not only for this life, but for eternal life. From a mission perspective, we pray in these petitions for all, even our enemies, that they might recognize their sins, repent, and believe that in Christ, God wills to forgive them also. We pray that even as God gives us daily bread, especially Christ, the bread of life, he would grant it to all mankind. With Christ, we live. We know it. And we pray that the Lord might cause many more to know it and believe it unto life eternal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and the dying, and for all who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for those and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the perils of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I
thank you, my
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you.